Good morning, everyone. Today's daf in Morin Katan is daf Zion. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf Lupin Lezech Nishmas Lozal Ben Zaltzman. We are in the Mishnah on Vav Amud Beis. Talking about what we can cannot do in Chol HaMoed. Chol HaMoed, as we've been discussing since the beginning of the Masechta, is a time period in which there's an Issur Malacha, not the same as Yontif. Yontif, there's an objective Issur Malacha. On Chol HaMoed, it's not objective, there's a subjectivity towards the Issur Malacha. There are a term, there are certain, under certain conditions, under certain circumstances, one is allowed to do Malacha on Chol HaMoed, and that's what these Mishnahs have been discussing. Have been discussing since the beginning of the Perek, since the beginning of the Masechta. So which Malachas on Chol HaMoed are you allowed to do? So the just in terms of categorization, so hefted. So if there's a financial loss, if we're looking at a financial loss, so therefore one can get involved in certain malachas. We're focusing, the Mishnahs over here really focusing on the malachas of working the land. Working the land, one of the basic malachas on Shabbos, one of the 39 malachas on Shabbos, is not allowed, you're not allowed to do chorish, you're not allowed to do zareah, you're not allowed to plow the land, you're not allowed to plant the land. So really, the Mishnahs over here are focusing on those malachas, but sensibly, it would be true by any of the malachas, if there's a hefset, if there's a potential loss, so then you're allowed to do those malachas on Chol HaMoed. So here we are in the Mishnah on Vav Amud Beis, second Mishnah on the Amud, Sadin Esa Ishus, you're allowed to exterminate. We're going to talk about extermination of the rodents out of your field. The word Ishus is the Rashi over here. Take a look at Tosus. Tosus over here says it straight out. Of course, the Yerushalmi, it's a chulda. It's a type of rodent. So you're allowed to exterminate the ishus, the rodent on Chol HaMoed. That's achbarim and other types of rats as well. Miyasdei ha'ilum is the alav and kedarko. And from the two types of fields, the field of a tree and the field of white, the stay alavan. That's in the Mishnah. It's usually a reference to a wheat field, right? Because you look at the wheat field and it has a lighter color to it. So anyway, so basically, both types of fields you're allowed to exterminate your animals from. The tree fields and the wheat fields, kedarko b'moed, as you normally would do during Chol HaMoed, meaning that even though we're gonna be a little more graphic later on in terms of what exactly is a problem with trapping on Chol HaMoed, why is that even a consideration? But for whatever reason, it's a consideration. But the Tanakhama says that on Chol HaMoed, because these rodents will serve as a threat to your field, to your tree field, and to your wheat field, so therefore you're allowed to exterminate without any consideration whatsoever. Uvishvis, and also during the Shemitah year as well, right? These Mishnayos also have been throwing in Shemitah as part of the discussion as well, even though, of course, Shemitah has nothing to do with Chol HaMoed. But still, as much as you're allowed to exterminate during Chol HaMoed, you're also allowed to exterminate during Shemitah as well. Now, the Chachamim say, when it comes to your Stei Ha'ilan, when it comes to your orchard, so that you can do extermination without any consideration whatsoever, meaning you're allowed to exterminate. But if it's stay halavan, but if it's your wheat field, so then shalok kedarko. You have to do it in a somewhat unusual manner. So why should that be? So presumably the chachamim are of the opinion that it's not that serious a financial loss when it comes to your wheat field, for reasons which I cannot articulate, but it's not going to be as significant a loss. If you have a fence that fell down, so in Chol HaMoed, you can patch it up again. In other words, you can't fix your fence on Chol HaMoed, but you can patch it up again. And Shemitah, Bona Kedarko, and Shemitah, you're allowed to make a fence as you normally would during the other 6 years of the Shemitah cycle. Okay, we'll discuss much more of this over the course of the Gemara. So my Isha. So first of all, the Gemara's first discussion, a very simple discussion, is what are we talking about? Meaning the Mishnah talks about the extermination of this animal called the Isha. So Amar Rav Yehuda, Berei Derav, I'm sorry, I'm Rav Yehuda, Ber Yishein La Einayim. It's a reference to an animal that does not have eyes. Okay, so type of mole where basically you can't see. I'm Rav Yishma, V'item Rav Yem, Rav Hashamay, Maikra, Kamo Shavlul, Tamas, Yalech, Nefel, Eishes, Baal Chazu Shemesh. So the Gemara here refers to the Navi in Tehillim refers to this Nefel, I'm sorry, to this Eishes, this type of mole that's unable to see the sun. Okay, so some sort of mole that doesn't see the sun, so can't. So that's what our Mishnah is describing. Again, the Yerushalmi says it's a chulda. It's a type of rodent, type of mole. Tanu Rabbanan Sadin say Ishus Vesach Brei Mistei Alavan Mistei Ailan Kedarko. The Gemara here quotes a brisa, the Tosefta, that you're allowed to trap the moles and the rats from both your Stei Alavan, your wheat field, and your tree and your orchard, like you normally would do during the rest of the year. Machriv and Chori Namalan. And not only that, but if you have an ant infestation in your field, so you can also exterminate your ants as well. So Ketza Machri even. Now the Gemara here gives us a little insight into what extermination of ants used to be circa 2,000 years ago. So the Mishnah says, Tosefta says, Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, maybe offer mechorzeh, menosin lesochorzeh, vehin chomkin zeh. So what you do is you take dirt that is not natural to this, to these parts. You take foreign dirt, you put it down over here, and the ants go crazy and the ants kill each other. Literally, they choke one another. If you take a look at Rashi over here, Rashi explains the quote-unquote the science behind this, meaning I don't know how this conforms with our science, but either way, it doesn't matter to me. This is how Rashi explains the Gemara. So that foreign dirt gives them a scent that they're unaccustomed to, and it makes them crazy, and they end up killing one another. Okay, so that's ant extermination of about 2,000 years ago. That's how they would do it. So Amrav Yemar Bashamayim Mishmei Dabai Vahu Dekai Betray Avin Nahari. So now the Gemara just simply points out that the dirt that you're introducing to these ants has to be totally foreign to the ants. So for example, you have to get earth from the other side of the river. And Vahu Deleke Gashra, Vahu Deleke Gamala, Vahu Deleke Mitzra. And the Gemara points out that there can be no communication between this side of the river and that side of the river. Meaning if there is a bridge or even just a post, a slat that gets you from one side of the river to the other side of the river. So that means that the ants probably traversed from one side to the other side. And so then this earth is not foreign earth to the ant. It has to be earth in which the ants is just totally unaccustomed to. Ad kama. So how far do you need to travel in order to get foreign earth? So ad parsa. So the Gemara says you have to travel parsa, right, 4 mil, in order to get the kind of earth where the ant is not used to, and then you put that earth in, and the ant is unaccustomed to it, and the ant will go crazy. All right, good. So good. So the Mishnah basically tells us that you're allowed to exterminate your rodents and your rats and your ants. Actually, the Mishnah doesn't mention ants. That's the Braisa. But the Mishnah says that you're allowed to exterminate your rodents and your ants, your rodents and your rats during Chol HaMoed. Again, the considerations we haven't really even discussed yet. So far, all we've done in the Gemara is we just gave a definition of what the word Ishus means. It's a kind of mole. And also, we introduced a Braisa, and the Braisa told us that not only are you allowed to get rid of the rats and the rodents, but you're also allowed to get rid of the ants that are going to pose a threat to your field. Okay, but what we really haven't discussed yet, which we're going to about to discuss right now, is what's the problem? Meaning, why is this a discussion for Chol HaMoed? What could possibly be the problem? Tanu Rabbanan. So the Gemara over here quotes a Braisa. Let me just read the heading. Rav Yehuda Omer Mistei Ilan Kedarko Mistei Alam Mishal Kedarko Tanu Rabbanan Ketsa Kedarko. So what does it mean Kedarko? What would be considered a normal way of extermination? Chofer Guma V'Tola B'Mitsuda. So what you're going to do is you're going to dig up a hole, and you will put a trap up there. So Ketsa Shalok Kedarko. And what's an unusual way of getting rid of the rats of the rodents? No, it's shpudu umaka bekardum. So what you do is you figure basically where the rodent is under the ground. You take a shpud, you take some sort of stake, you put the stake in the ground, and then with a hammer you bang down, and hoping that your aim is good and that you're going to get the rat of the rodent. Umarada adama metachtaha. Okay, and you bang it on the ground. All right, so the Bryce over here just gives us two different ways of the usual and the unusual way of trapping the rats of the rodents. Tanya will intend another braisa. Rabbi Shimon ben Lazar Omer. Okay, the girsa issues in terms of who says it, but either way, when we say that by a wheat field, so you have to trap in an unusual manner, that's only if the wheat field stands by itself. But if the wheat field is right next to an orchard, so So then the concern is that the rats and the rodents are going to jump from the wheat field into the orchard, and they're going to pose a serious threat to the orchard. Okay. Good. Umakrinus appears to Mamod. Okay, so that really ends the discussion of the Gemara in terms of extermination. So basically, so what's the problem? Meaning, we know what the heter is. The heter is you're allowed to exterminate. But what's the consideration? What was the concern? So if you take a look at Rashi back in the Mishnah, that it is going to it is going to a certain degree improve your field. Now, it could be based on the Gemara that we just saw, the improvement of the field has to do with all the digging that you've done in the field. Meaning that in order to properly exterminate these animals, these rodents, so it's going to require you to actually dig up on the field. Now, I'm not really sure, to be honest with you, I'm not really sure how that's an improvement of the field, meaning all you're really doing is digging holes in the field, but still, it's chafira, it's a form of choresh, it's plowing, if you will, and so that would be the concern in terms of why it would be prohibited. But the Mishnah taught us that if it's an orchard, then you don't have to think twice about it. You're allowed to get rid of it right away. And if it's a wheat field, so machlokus in the Mishnah and the Braisa, whether you could do a kedarka or whether you have to do a shinui, but still, the same result, you're allowed to get rid of your rodents. You're allowed to do exterminations for fear of the hefted of the loss. Okay, continuing in the Gemara, we're on Zayin Amud Aleph, we're at the two dots towards the top of the Amud. I'm sorry. About 10 lines from the top of the Amud, Makrin Sapir to Bamoid. Okay, fence fixing. Fence fixing on Chol HaMoed, so Ketzad Makrin. So, in Chol HaMoed, if you have a breach in your fence, so you're allowed to plug up the hole. Now, what exactly does that mean? So that's what the Gemara now is going to discuss, Ketzad Makrin, Rav Yosef Amar, Behutza V'dafna. Hutza V'dafna, basically, what the Mishnah is telling us is, I'm sorry, what Rav Yosef is teaching us, is a makeshift plug in the hole in the fence. Hutsa are basically like palm fronds, dafna, other types of vegetation. You're not actually going to rebuild your fence. If there's a hole in the fence, you're not going to actually do that in Chol HaMoed. That you'll wait till after Chol HaMoed, but just to make a makeshift plug in the fence. So therefore you take some palm fronds and you stick it over there, and that's how you plug up the hole. Now in the Bryce, another method in terms of how to fix up the hole, and that is to pile stones one on top of the other, but not to cement the stones with each other. I'm Rav Chista, Lo Shana Lakosa Lahagina. Rav Chista says, all this is true regarding the wall around your garden. But if it's a wall around your chatzir, so and it breaks on Chol HaMoed, so you're allowed to fix it without any consideration whatsoever. Meaning there, no hesitation, you could fix the fence. What's the difference between a fence going into your garden versus a fence going into your home? Intuitively, we all know the answer. Rashi says it. Let's see Rashi inside. So Rashi says, "Amr chitzlo shanu, the Amr masitz makrin avayina bona kedarko because of gina, the lake up seda yisera ila aile bay inchi." So if people walk into your garden, okay, what are they going to take? Some fruit? Okay, that's in other words that will you're not going to lose any more if you make a makeshift fence versus making a real fence. But koso chatzer bona kedarko. Look at the next Rashi. Dikap seidi yisera e aile beganve veganve mamone. But if you're talking about your chatzer, you're really talking about your house. Meaning the courtyard is obviously just an entree into your house. So if your fence is down, and what are you going to do? You're going to put a couple of bushes over there, some shrubbery during Chol HaMoed, right? To take some palm fronds and put it in the place. That's not going to stop a thief. So in other words, if you're worried about the security of your home and the money in your home, that's a serious hefsed potential, serious loss potential. And so therefore, the Rav Chista says that you're allowed to plug up your fence of your home and with no reservation whatsoever, you could fix it up as strong as it was originally. Lema Misayela, the Gemara quotes a Braisa, and presumably the Braisa is going to support this position. Here in this Braisa, it's a Tosefta. The Tosefta is talking about a wall that is starting to lean into the Rishus HaRabim. So you could take down the wall and you could build it up because that's going to pose a threat to the people. Now, already the Gemara is going to jump on this because the Gemara is trying to bring this Braisa of support for our discussion. Our discussion is protecting your home from thieves. Okay, that's a monetary concern. This Tosefta that we just introduced is talking about where the wall is leaning into the Rishus HaRabim. It's going to fall on people. It's going to hurt people. That's a sakana. So how can we compare the two? And the Gemara jumps on that right now. Hasam kediktanet tamim nimei sakana. The Gemara says that braisa is not germane to our discussion. Our discussion is protecting the assets of your home. Good. That's our discussion. The discussion of the braisa was protecting people with their lives. If the wall falls on people passing through the Rishus HaRabim, that obviously poses sakana. So therefore the Gemara dismisses this as a proof because it's not germane to our discussion. Igidami Tashma, the Gemara now is going to bring in the same discussion in a slightly different format, but basically the same discussion. Good. Now we quote the Braisa. The Braisa says that if the wall is leaning out to the Rishus HaRabim, and it looks like it's going to fall on the Rishus HaRabim, so what you could do is you could take down the wall and build it up on Chol HaMoed. So, Mimnei HaSakana Inshlo, Mimnei HaSakana Lo. So, what does that mean? In terms of construction, I can only do construction on Chol HaMoed if we're talking about saving people's lives. If you're just talking about saving your money, I can't. So, Lema Tavati of Tidrav Chista. Now, what does this now represent? This represents an attack on the position of Rav Chista. Rav Chista said that if it's the wall around your chatzer, which means basically it's the wall around your house, and you're saving your money, right, the assets of your home, Rav Chista says, don't worry, build your fence like you normally do. Meaning get involved in the construction like you normally do if we're talking about saving your assets of your home. So the Braisa now is posing a serious question on Rav Chista's position, because the Braisa only allows you to do construction if we're talking about saving people's lives. So Rav Chista says the Braisa is not a threat to my position. The Braisa is telling you that what can you do on Chol HaMoed if the wall is leaning into the Rishus HaRabim and possibly going to hurt people or do worse damage to people. What the Braisa there allows you to do is A, tear down the wall, stira, and B, build the wall back up again, binyan. So in other words, that's two steps. I'm talking about a situation where you have a wall around your chatzer, which is really a wall around your house, and there the wall comes down. Under those circumstances, I'm allowing binyan, I'm allowing building. So the Braisa is actually allowing an additional step. Tearing down and building, what I'm allowing to save your property and assets is just simply building. Rav Chista says that's the difference between the Braisa and my position. The Hasam... So good. So the Hasam Nami, I'm sorry. So Hasam Soser Bona, Hachabona Velo Soser. Hasam Nami Lister Velo Livne. So the Gemara, good. Danny, perfect. So now the Gemara says, okay, in the case where your wall is now leaning into the Rishus HaRabim. So why don't you do the following? Why don't you just tear it down? Meaning, okay. So that wall is serving as a threat to the Rishus HaRabim. So just tear it down and that's it. And don't rebuild it. So Imkein Mimne Velo Soser. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you also know how people think, right? Where the Chachamim were totally in tune with the thought process of people, and the Chachamim said to people on Chol HaMoed, you know, your wall's a hazard, right? Your wall's leaning into the Rishus HaRabim serves as a hazard. You know what? Tear it down. Can I rebuild it? No. Not till after Chol HaMoed. So the person will say, you know what? Okay, I'll tear it down after Chol HaMoed. Meaning that if I don't have if I can't replace the wall that I'm tearing down, you know what, I'm not going to tear it down. I know I was told to tear it down, but I'll wait. I'll wait till after Chol HaMoed. So in other words, basically to encourage, you have to incentivize. So to incentivize people to tear it down, so therefore the kula has to be built in order so that you build it up. Right? We saw this back in Masech Debeitza. Right? This idea that meaning that under certain circumstances, you just have to incentivize people. So there was more heter that was built in. So here you're right. To build it up on Chol HaMoed, that's not necessary right now. But if we don't allow people to build it, so they're not going to tear it down. Good. So in order to basically incentivize people to tear it down, we'll allow them to build it up again as well. I'm Rav Ashi Masisanami Deka Diktani. Rav Ashi says this position Rav Chista could be totally supported from our Mishnah. Again, Rav Chista says that a fence going around your house, the fence falls down on Chol HaMoed, you could build it up without any reservation. Meaning, right, like full binyan, regular construction, no shinui, no patchwork with palm fronds, you could build it up. Our Mishnah is only speaking specifically about the fence around your garden. There, you have to do it with a shinui, there you patch it together with palm fronds, then you have to do reservation. But if it's in your house, if it's a fence around your house, they're talking about the security of your home, so that you can fix on Chol HaMoed without any reservation. Rav Ashi says, you go back to the Mishnah, and you will see all this stated clearly in the Mishnah. Why? Meaning, well, not stated clearly, I shouldn't say that. But you could deduce it from the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah says, V'shviz bona kedarko. What did the Mishnah say? That in the Shemitah year, you can build it up kedarko, like you regularly do. Right? Then, in other words, the Mishnah was contrasting Chol HaMoed to Shemitah. And Chol HaMoed, patchwork. Shemitah, your fence falls down, you can build it up. Now, when we're talking about the Shemitah year, and your fence falls down, your fence of what? Your house? That's ridiculous. meaning Shemitah. There's no problem with building a house during Shemitah. There's no problem with building a fence around your house during Shemitah. The problem is your field. So obviously, once the Mishnah here in Moed Katan is talking about a fence around the field during the Shemitah year, it's talking about a fence around your field. It's not talking about a fence around your house. And the point the Mishnah is making is, it may look like you are trying to protect your field, but Shemitah, you're just building a fence around your field, that's fine. Meaning the, you had a fence there, it falls down, you're allowed to fix it. So just from the context of the fence of Shemitah, where it's clearly talking about the fence around your field, so now we can assume that when they're talking about the fence for Chol HaMoed, it's talking about the fence around your on Chol HaMoed, it's talking about the fence around your field as well. But now we're supporting Rav Chisda. But if we're talking about the fence around your house, bona kedarka, then you can build it like you regularly do. Okay, good. Adkan divrei Hagamara. Okay, good.
So it's basically about building a fence around the field is really the relation.
I mean, that's the entire issue of the Mishnah. And there, we're talking about just a small monetary concern of your field. So then you have to do a shino. You have to do a change. But if you're talking about your home, or you're talking about a serious hefset, so then the Rav Chisda's position is that you can build a fence or whatever security measures you need in order to protect your home, even on Chol HaMoed itself. Right. Agreed. Rabbi Meir Omer Rowan Es HaNegayim. Okay, and here we go. We start now next discussion on Chol HaMoed, things that you can and cannot do in Chol HaMoed, and now we're talking about Rias and Negayim. Right? I know this does not transpire to any one of us. Right? Skin conditions aside, I could speak from personal experience on this issue, but skin conditions aside, but we are not afflicted with psoriasis nowadays. We don't know what it is. We call leprosy just simply because we don't have the words to really describe what it is. But anyway, but we know the parshiyos in the Torah, two parshiyos in the Torah that describe psoriasis, tazria and mitzara. And so when we have psoriasis, what the Torah tells us to do is go to a kohen and basically get it checked out by a kohen. So the kohen has office hours where you go to the kohen and he checks it out, and one of a number of possibilities. Either the kohen will look at it and say, it's fine, it's nothing, right? Put a little cortisone on it, you're fine. The other possibility is that the kohen will say, oh, that's the ras, for sure. Wait till it goes away. Leave the camp, wait till it goes away, and then you'll come back and you'll go through the whole tahara process as described in detail in the beginning of Parshas Mitzara. Okay, or there's another possibility, which is a middle possibility, which is the kohen says unclear, meaning may or may not be tzaras. So what you're going to do is you're going to be put in a holding pattern. You're going to be sequestered for 1 week. Then what's going to happen after 1 week is the kohen's going to look at it again, basically look for a spreading of the area. And after the first week, he'll look at it again with, again, the same possibilities. Either it goes away, or two, it is status quo, or three, he's going to declare it to be a mitzora mukhlat, meaning a definitive mitzora. But in that, and then he's going to, there's one possibility, it'll put you away for another week. After the second week of being sequestered, now you're going to come up, and basically now there are only two possibilities. Either it is or it isn't saras. Okay? Those are basically, that's a very brief description of what's going to happen if you possibly have saras and you go to the Kohen to get rendered a decision.
Why do you feel compelled to put this here? Why should it be an issue?
I'll explain what the issue is in just a moment. The Rashi over here is going to explain the issue. It is interesting, however. I thought you were going to ask a slightly different question. Meaning, we've been talking about malachos, right? We've been talking about up until now in this Masechta since day one. Correct. We've been talking about the performance of malachos, and over here, this is not a malacha issue. This is a Simchas Yontav issue. So it is a little bit It is a little bit of change of course in terms of general topics, but okay, I'll explain the issue in just a moment. Rabbi Meir Omer Ronis and Nagaim. So right now, there's a lot of details that we're going to fill in. We're just going to get comfortable with the Mishnah. Rabbi Meir says that if you're a Kohen, Ronis and Nagaim. So you can have Chol HaMoed office hours. Okay, so you're a Kohen that, you know, and you know your business when it comes to Tzaraas. You know what you're looking at. You know how to diagnose. So basically you can have Chol Hamoed hours. Obviously Chol Hamoed, so the hours are going to be smaller, right? 10 to 2, let's say. So the good. So the I'm sorry. Rabbi Meir Omer Ronis and again Lahako Avalo Lahachmir. But here's the story, says Rabbi Meir. You can render a decision, but only if that decision is going to be makel.
How's he going to know?
Right. But you cannot render a decision which is going to be machmir. Okay? I'll come back to that in just a moment. The Chachamim Omrim will lahak v'lo lahachmir, and the Chachamim say no, that's not correct. But rather, where the Kohen renders no decision, meaning according to the Chachamim, there's no office hours during Chol Hamoed. Okay, so I understand there's much to discuss over here, but first let's just get familiar with what the issue is. Take a look at Rashi over here. Rashi over here on the Mishnah writes, "Ronis negan la'akel klomer roa kohen negat tzaras b'moed latayr." If a kohen has an opportunity to look at tzaras in order to be metahir, it's good. So he'll do that. But lo lahachmer. Look at the next Rashi. Shem roa kohen shu tamei eino omer klom. If the kohen sees and he sees that this is tzaras and it's no good, so what the Kohen will just simply say is, come back to me in a week. Okay, but he does not render a decision. Because hearing the news that you have definitive tzaras and chol hamoed, so will make him sad. And we know that in chol hamoed, meaning all of Yontif, meaning when I say all of Yontif, we mean from the beginning of Yontif to the end of Yontif. Right, for Pesach all 7 days, for Sukkot for all 8 days, Shavuos just 1 day. Okay, here in Chutz La'aretz, 2 days. We're allowed to be happy for 2 days. So that's it. So basically, just 2 weeks out of the year, you're allowed to be happy. So actually, let's say it a little bit better. There's a mitzvah to be happy, right? They coined the name of the Vilna Gaon one of the most difficult mitzvahs. I guess but anyway, but yeah, correct. In other words, there's a requirement to experience joy and to be happy. So obviously, if you get the bad news that you have tzaras, so that obviously is going to steer your simcha. That's going to be deflating to your simcha. So therefore, what you need to do on Chol Hamoed is keep that in mind. And so therefore, according to a mayor, if you're a Kohen, so you can have office hours and you can look at tzaras, but only give good news. And if it's bad news, so just don't give it. Just simply say to him, come back a week later from now. Now, the obvious question, which hopefully everyone's thinking right now, is, well, what do you mean? If you're not hearing good news, don't you haven't you figured it out? So that's an obvious point. We're gonna discuss that in just a moment. That's the opinion of Rabbi Meir. And the Chachamim say, no, just don't open your doors. Meaning the Kohen just simply will say to the possible Mitzorah, how about this? How about you're not coming to me now? I'm not looking. I'm not rendering a decision either direction. You'll come back to me next week. Okay, Tanya, we learned today, Bryson. Now, there's much to discuss, so really all the details are going to be exposed in the Gemara. Tanya, Rabbi Meir, Omer. Rowan S. Anagayim Lahakav Olahachmer. So the Gemara over here quotes a Bryson. Rabbi Meir, just like we saw in the Mishnah, says that the Kohen can render a decision, but only to be makel, only to be lenient, not to be machmer. Rabbi Yossi Omer, lo lahakav lo lahachmir. Rabbi Yossi says, no, not to be mekel, not to be machmir. Shimata nizkak lo lahakav, nizkak lo af lahachmir. So the position of the Chachamim, which now we know in the Brises, is the position of Rabbi Yossi. I mean, the Chachamim and Rabbi Yossi are the same. Rabbi Yossi says, look, once you're asking the Kohen to render a decision, so he can't just simply arbitrarily decide, well, if it's good news, I'll tell him. And if it's bad news, I won't say anything. Rabbi Yossi says, you can't do that. Once you're asked to render an opinion, you have to render an opinion. So whether it's good or bad news, you're going to have to say something. Okay. Amar Rebbe. Okay, good. So far now we have two positions in the Mishnah. Two positions in the Braisa. They parallel one another. Rebbe Meir says that a Kohen can have office hours to look at Negayim, but only deliver good news. Bad news he will not deliver. He'll just simply say, come back to me a week later. And the Chachamim of the Mishnah, which is Rav Yossi of the Braisa, say no. You cannot open up your office hours at all during Chol Hamoed. You'll just simply have everyone come to you after Chol Hamoed because you can't just arbitrarily decide, I'm only going to offer good news and I'm not going to give the bad news. Okay. Adkan, that takes us now to the Mishnah, to the Braisa, and now we're going to flesh out the details. Amar Rebbe, Nirin Dibur Rebbe Meir Ben Musgar, V'divir Rabbi Yossi b'muchlan. So Rabbi Meir says, I'm sorry, Rabbi says, I will see a compromised position. This happens time and again throughout Shas, where basically Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi sees two sides of the debate and strikes what is a compromised position. To a certain degree, he's right, and to a certain degree, he's right. Now, in general, we have this principle of Elu ve'Elu, meaning whenever we see a machlokus in the Gemara, in the Mishnah, between Tanayim, so we don't say right and wrong. The words right and wrong are not the appropriate words to use. The words that we normally use when we see a machlokus is that they're looking at the same Torah, but from two different perspectives. And they both have validity. There's no right and wrong. There's perspectives, if you will. But what Rabbi does over here in this particular scenario is he actually sees both sides. He's able to see where I could see Rabbi Meir making a case in this circumstance, and I can see Rabbi Yossi making a case in this circumstance. Where do we strike the compromise according to Rabbi? And it's interesting. Rabbi's the one who normally does the threshos. So I'm a Rabbi Nirin Divrei Rabbi Meir b'Musgar, Rabbi Yossi b'Muchlat. If it's a question of being sent to be sequestered, so then I see the position of Rav Meir. If it's a question of making a determination of whether it is or is not Saras, so then I see the perspective of the Chachamim. Let's take a look at Rashi together. Rashi writes, I'm Rabbi Nirin Lo Divrei Rabbi Meir b'Muskar, Shiron v'Divrei Rabbi Yossi b'Muchlat. I'm sorry. Not yet. I'm sorry. Let's go on in the Gemara. We're fleshing out the details. Amarava b'tahor kulei amalo pligid lo chazilei. Rava now gives us the perspective in order so that we understand everything. Meaning we're going to understand Rav Meir, Rav Yossi, the compromise of Rebbe. So all fleshed out by Rava. B'tahor. If the person is tahor, meaning no history, comes into the Kohen, something's on his skin, and doesn't know what it is, so then, there's agreement amongst everyone of the Tanayim. The Kohen says, you don't have a history. Right now, the only news that could possibly, well, that's not true. It could be that it's nothing, and I'll say it's nothing. But right now, really, from here, can only get worse. It can only get worse from here, so you know what? Just don't come in. Not during Chol HaMoed. You know, you're going to wait till after Chol HaMoed. Behezger Rishon de Kuleyama de Lo Pligi de Chazi. And if it's Hezger Rishon, meaning it's the first it's after the first sequester, after the first week of being sequestered, where now basically he's already in trouble, meaning he has already been rendered a decision by the Kohen. I say a decision, I don't mean a definitive decision, but it looks bad, let's wait. Give it a week and let's take it from there. So under those circumstances, everyone's in agreement that it can't get worse, it can only get better. Therefore, the Kohen is going to look at that. And ki pligi behezger sheni. And the only debate between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Meir is by hezger sheni. Only after the second week of being sequestered. Now, let's go back, let's take a look at that last Rashi on Zayin Amud Aleph. Hezger rishon. Now, we're talking about after the first week of being sequestered. She'imitar lei misamech lei. Because look, he's already now spent a week in Hezger, in a sequestered state. So now what the Kohen can do is only make his day better. Can't make his day worse. Because either the Kohen can simply say after a week of being sequestered, you know what? I'm looking at it now. It's calmed down. You're good. Good. So that'll produce simcha. And it's Chol HaMoed, and that's perfect. And ilomitar le ilomitamer le yoster midig mikara elamaska le pam shnia. Now, what could also be a result, and another possible result is, I'm not saying for sure it's saras. I'm going to have to sequester you for another week. Okay, but he's already in a state of being sequestered. Meaning, so therefore, it's not good news. It's not bad news. It's status quo. So therefore, if it's after the first week of Hezger. So we're all in agreement that the Kohen could look at him because can't make this scenario worse. Could make it either status quo, can make it better. Good. Just give me 1 second. Ki pligi behezger sheni. So the whole debate over here now is after the second week of being sequestered. Because after the second week of being sequestered, now he goes to the Kohen on Chol HaMoed. So now the news could be good, the news could be bad. if the news could be good or bad, so then that's the machlokas. Take a look at Rashi. The matama le machli le b'tumachamura mitzarele. Because now what the Kohen could say after the second week of being sequestered is, I can't say that you're tahor. I therefore have to conclude you're tamei. Okay, good. Now he's tamei. I mean, good. Meaning, and that's going to destroy Simchas Yontif. Okay. So Mar Savar Bekoin Talia Milsa. I'm sorry. Mar Savar Bekoin Talia Milsa Yitar Amar Leitar Vitami Shasek. And Umar Savar Letaro O Letamoksiv. So now the Gemara points out, this is now Rava's explanation, the Homachlokshin Rameir and Rav Yossi. So what Rameir's position is, both of the Mishnah and the Braisa, is, look, everything's up to the Kohen. The Kohen will be the end-all and be-all of the diagnosis. So if the Kohen still looks at it and says, and sees that it's good, so the Kohen say, good, you're good. And if the Kohen looks at it and sees that it's Saras, so the Kohen will say, you know what, I'm not going to make a decision right now. Your status will not change until I actually render a decision. So you know what? I'll come back after Chol HaMoed and we'll take a look at it then. That's Rameir's position, and that's why he could look at him during Chol HaMoed after the second week of Hezger. And Rav Yossi says, no. O letamo, o letaro. When the Kohen looks at him, one of two possibilities will have to result. Either your tame or your tahor. And one of those two possibilities has to come out, and so therefore, according to Rabbi Yossi, after the second week of Hezger, no good. Meaning you can't look at him at Chol HaMoed, because one of the possibilities is going to be that you're Tamei, and that'll take away Simchas Yontif.
What kind of Simchas is there for the guy to be in limbo for another week? I mean,
it's not correct, understood, but in other words, it's not, his situation is not going to be any worse than it was previously. The Gemara's assumption is that if your situation is not worse, so that's not a contradiction to Simcha. Simcha will only be will be offended, if you will, only if you're going from a position of bad to worse.
Okay. Or if he knows he's bad, how do they leave him in the camp?
We'll get to those details in just a moment. Okay. Yeah, Danny.
No, I was going to ask. So if you're putting somebody in the chafila.
Right, so that's what.
Oh,
good. So that's what Rava says. Rava says that he has no history and he's coming to you for the first time. So Rava says we're all in agreement. Cohen basically says to him, not now, not Chol HaMoed, because right now the there's a possibility that you're going to go from a situation of you don't know to a situation of that may or definitely will be Tzaras. So that you can't. Everyone's in agreement that you can't do.
Is he metamein on this rainy period?
Yeah, in other words, right, remember the Mishnah Megillah?
Yeah.
The Mishnah Megillah says that during Musgar, he's Tamei.
Oh,
okay. During both periods, he's going to be Tamei. It's not just a question of going from possible to definitive. Okay, now Amar. Amar Rabbi Niran Divrei Rabbi Yosef Ben Mochav Divrei Rabbi Meir Ben Musgar. Okay, so what do we have? We have a statement made in the Braisa, the Gemara is just repeating, which is, that Rebbe agrees with Rabbi Yossi when it comes to Hechlet, meaning that when it comes to Hechlet, the Kohen does not look at him. The Kohen, because the Kohen is only going to arrive at one of two possibilities, either your Tamei or Tahor. But I agree with Rabbi Meir when it comes to Musgar. Okay, Vitanya Ibcha. We have a Braisa that teaches us the exact opposite. Tanaihi Aliba de Rebbe. So the Gemara says, you're right. We have two conflicting braises in terms of Rebbe's position is Mar Savet Safta de Ama Adifle or Mar Savet Safta de Ishto Adifale. So the Gemara says, well, what really is at issue over here is what would a person prefer? Would a person prefer to be back in society or would a person prefer to be back with his wife? Let's explain this better. Rashi, let's take a look at Rashi together. Rashi says, Savar Bekoin. I'm sorry. No. Rashi Mar Savar Tzafsa Deish Da'ad Deflay. Right. Rashi writes. Lahachi Chazilei Bemoed BeHesker Sheni. Okay. The position of Hesker Sheni goes like this. After the second week of being sequestered, the Imitaro Mesamcha. Because look, after Hesker Sheni, he's going to go to a Kohen. Again, he's now been sequestered for 2 weeks. Okay. He's going to go to a Kohen. Now, either the Kohen is going to say to him, you are in a position of status quo, meaning, I'm sorry, after Hezger Sheni, you're either going to be Tamei Legamrei, or you're going to be Tzar. Those are the two possibilities after the second week of being sequestered. So, as Rashi points out over here, according to one version, Rebbe says, I see the position of a mayor. Meaning, it's fine. Yeah, go ahead. Because what will come out is that both results will make the person happy. Now, if the Kohen says, you're Tahor Legamre, obviously he'll be happy. Good. If the person says, you're a Mochlat, that too will make him happy. Why should that be? So let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi's going to explain. Because if the Kohen after the second week of being sequestered says, you're Tomei, meaning it's definitely Tsaras, the person will be like, oh, that's good news. Why? Because a person who is a Tsara Legamre can go back to his wife. Okay, interesting. Rashi writes, okay, and this is controversial, but for this morning, we're going to take it from Rashi's perspective. Rashi says that when you are a Mitzora Musgar, meaning that you are not definitively a Mitzora, so you are not sent away to the Gimel Machanos, you are sequestered, but in your state of sequestered, you could still be in the camp, and you could still have visitation, and people can come and see you. Now, granted, by the way, it is a little bit precarious because their contact with you is going to make them tamei, and that's an issue. Correct. And that's certainly an issue, but during your state of Hezger, you cannot be with your wife. When you're a Mitzora Mochlat, it's odd, but you can be with your wife.
Outside the city?
Outside the city. Meaning, you'll be sent outside the city, but you can be with your wife. And so now, what the Gemara is arguing is that the Braisa that presents Rebbe's position of, after the second week of sequestering, he can go see a Kohen during Chol HaMoed, because either outcome will be fine. The outcome that says he's Tahor, obviously that's a good outcome. The outcome that says he's Tamei, also for him is a personally good outcome. Because even though he'll have to say goodbye to society for the next whatever, but he can bring his wife with him, which he wasn't allowed to do up until that point in time. Meaning during his period of Hezger, he couldn't be with his wife. Now he can be with his wife. So one position is that even though he's saying goodbye to society, but he's got his wife with him. That produces joy, that's simcha, and that you're allowed to do. The divra Rabbi Yossi b'muchlat. And he agrees with Rav Yossi by Mochlad, continuing in Rashi. Meaning, but if he's a Mitzora Mochlad, meaning he's already a definitive Mitzora, and now what he needs to do is he needs to go to a Kohen to find out, when is this gone already? Because remember, Mitzora Mochlad, he can be with his wife, but what he can't do now is he can't go into the Beis HaMikdash. What he needs to do is he needs to go back to a Kohen for the Kohen to tell him the Tzaras is definitely gone. Then and only then is he going to go through the Tahara process. But when the Tahara process begins, he's got to say his goodbye to his wife for a week. So, Uvi Meisi Pura, also B'Tashmi Shemitah. When he's doing Sfira, when he's counting, in other words, there's 7 days of the Tahara process of the Mitzora, so during those 7 days, actually eight, but during those 7 days of Sipur, of counting, so he can't be with his wife. So it's odd. It's an odd halacha, but the thought process behind this halacha is as follows. When he's being sequestered, meaning when he's in that state of not definitively Mitzora, not definitively not a Mitzora, meaning Yemei Hezger, he cannot be with his wife. Okay. When definitively becoming a Mitzora, he has to leave camp, he has to go Chutz HaMachane, but he can be with his wife. So, it's at that juncture where the Kohen can look at him, during Chol HaMoed. Because either the Kohen will say, it's fine, obviously which will bring joy, or you're Mitzora Mochlat, which is really good news encased in bad news. Meaning, it's definitely Tzaras, but you can have your wife back. In other words, you could be with your wife. Good. So that'll bring about joy. if he's already definitively a Metzora, which on one hand is obviously bad, and the Kohen's looking at him to tell him, oh no, it's, everything's cleared up, you're good, that'll also bring about bad news, because once he goes through the Tahara process, he loses his wife for that week. So that's going to be bad news. So according to the version of Rebbe, where Rebbe says, if he's Muzger going to Mukhlat, you could see him in Chol HaMoed. If he's Mukhlat and waiting to hear from the Kohen, the Tzaras is gone, that he can't hear in Chol HaMoed because he's going to lose his wife. That's one version of Rebbe. And the other version of Rebbe is, and I know we're all going to laugh at this because there's obviously a kernel of truth to that, is that the other version of Rebbe is just the opposite. Right? The Mitzora Mukhla can go to a Kohen on Chol HaMoed, but not the Mitzora Muzgar. Because although Mitzora Muzgar is going to get his wife, but he's going to lose his ability to go to Kiddush and go to shul and be with people. And even though he gets his wife, but he loses his ability to be social and to be with people. And that is preferable in terms of simcha than just simply having his wife. That's the other version of Rebbe. Take a look at the next Rashi. Umar Savat Safsa Adiflay, Haitan Adama Rabbi Nir and Devri Mimukhla Div Rabbi Yosim Muskar. The other Brisa that has Rebbe going in the other direction, Savat Safsa Dama Adiflay. So he's of the position that the company of society, the company of people, is more enjoyable to him than the company of his wife. So, ulahachi chazi b'mechaluto di'imatama lo matama yosem midimikara v'imatara misamcho di'aslet safsa da'ama. If he is a mitzvah mozgar and he goes to the Kohen either says to him, sorry, okay, that's not any worse than where I've been so far, right? Or you're clear, okay, good, he gets to join society. Avagav da'asa b'tash mishamitza safsa da'ama adiflay. Now, it's true, he won't be able to be with his wife, but okay, but at least he'll be able to join people. Okay, so anyway, so basically those are the two versions of Rebbe, where basically it's a question of what's going to bring about Simcha? His ability to be with his wife, or his ability to be with the public? And then just finishing up the Gemara for today, so the Gemara says, are you really meaning to say that when you are definitively a Mitzora, you're allowed to be with your wife? The Gemara says, yeah, and that's correct. V'atanya, the Gemara here quotes a Braisa. V'yash mechutz alo shevas yamim she'ya asa b'tash meshamita ve'ino alo alo ishto. She'namar lechem ol lechem l'shuv lechem ol lechem. So the Tanakhama says that during the Shivas Yamim, during the 7 days of purification, then he's prohibited with Tashmish Shemitah, which means up until that point in time, he was allowed to be with his wife. So Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shivas Yamim Yisap Elo, Yimei Sfira Velo Yimei Chiluto. And Rabbi Yehuda basically makes the same point. It's during the 7 days that he cannot be with his wife, but during the days where he was definitively Mitzora, he could be with his wife. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Zayin Yimei Sipiro Kavachom Elo Yimei Chiluto. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Huda disagrees. He says, no, if you can't be with your wife during the days of purification, for sure you can't be with your wife during the days where you're definitively a Mitzora. V'am Rabbi Chia, Dante Lefnei Rabbi Limanatin, Rabbeinu Yosam, Lo Haya Lo Uziyahu Ela Bimei Chiluto. Uziyahu, one of the kings of Yehuda, who experienced Saras, so they did the math. I know it's slightly immodest, but they did the math and they figured out that his son was conceived while he was a Mitzora. So, Ela Bimei Chiluto. So, Amar Lo, Af Ani Kach Amarti. So he says, yeah, that's correct. Meaning that when you're Mitzora Mukhlat, when you're definitively a Mitzora, you could be with your wife. It's just that when you are either going through your Muzgar period, or you're going through your purification period, so then you cannot be with your wife. So, Mamai Kemithlagi Rav Yos, Rav Yudas, Savagali Rechman, Bimei Sipur, Vakosha Kemi Mei Chiluto. The Gemara here just gives a little more Hezbra, a little more explanation. According to Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, the Torah tells us that a man can be with his wife during this purification period. And it goes without saying during the period of where he's definitively in Mitzora, Marsavra, Maide Gali Gali, Maide Lo Gali, Lo Gali. And the other position is no. The Torah only prohibits a man to be with his wife during the period of purification. Up until that point in time, a Mitzora is allowed to be with his wife. The Gemara says, now you're telling me that everything is subject to the verdict of the Kohen. The Gemara says, that's also true. Some days the Kohen looks at it, some days the Kohen doesn't look at it. So let's say a chasan, right, who has a possible tzaras. So for the first week of marriage, right, what we would call Sheva Brachos, so the Kohen says to the chasan, come to me a week later. Meaning not now. Meaning, because you come to me now, you're going to be prohibited to your wife. In other words, we're not going to have that. You'll come to me a week
but
later.
But the thing is, if it's mukhlat, it would be his wife, no?
Correct. That, right. But the possibility is that he'll be a muskar, which will prohibit him from his wife. The chen beregel no slo shivas yimei regel de Rabbi Yehuda. And also the same thing which is true by regel as well. Rabbi Omer ain't otzarech, harei omer b'tziva akonu fino sabayis, mamtin lo ledavar ashuz, kol shekin lo ledavar mitzvah. Rabbi says, look, same conclusion, but it's obvious. Meaning, remember, when the case of the house, what did we say regarding the house? Right, this is Parshas Mitzora, the next Parsha, where the Kohen says, you know what, you have a tzaras in your house, how about this? Before I go in there and render any type of decision, why don't you go into your house and take everything out of the house? And that'll save anything from being tamei, because your house will not be tamei until I declare it to be tamei. And so Rebbe makes now what constructs a logical argument, the Kavachomer. If you can delay and postpone the ruling of tzaras of a house, which is a dvar rishus, meaning what you're doing is you're just saving your possessions from being tamei, so a dvar mitzvah, like chosim v'kala, like yantiv, so how much more so can you delay and postpone the ruling? So is there a difference in this brisa between Rabbi Yehuda and Rebbe? So my be now, I'm Rabbi, I'm Ashmas Dor Shanika Banel. So Rabbi says, no, there's no real difference. Meaning, they're both basically making the same point. It's just a question of how to read the Pesukim. Rav Amar Dvar HaRishus Yike Banel. Rav Yehuda Mehasam, I'm sorry. Rav Amar Dvar HaRishus Yike Banel. Rav says, no, there's a major difference between Rav Yehuda versus Rebbe. Meaning, according to Rav Yehuda Mehasam Lo Gamin Dechidushu, Da'etem Va'avanem Va'amalam Etame Va'achem Etame. Rav Yehuda's position is, when it comes to your house, so fine. Meaning, listen, this idea that your house is going to become tamei, that's a chiddush. Houses don't become tamei under general laws of tamei tahara. And yet by tzaras, the Torah says your house is subject to becoming tamei. So there, since it's a chiddush, chiddush in this context means it doesn't fit into the regular rules of tumah, so therefore you could postpone the tumah of your house so that you could save your property. But hacha mitama. But over here, when it comes to your body being tame, which is normal for tuma tahara, so there you can't delay, you can't postpone for dvar rishos. And Rabbi Omer Yitzchak the Kasher Rachmanu v'Yomer Rasbo Havamina l'dvar mitzvah in l'dvar rishos lo Kasher Rachmanu v'tziva ha'kohen v'e Kasher Rachmanu v'tziva ha'kohen Havamina hani in d'lav tuma d'gufe aval tuma d'gufe ema mechze chazi leitzricha. And Rabbi's position is no. That even if it's for a dvar rishus, it could be delayed, both for you and for your house. For your house, it's not as big a chiddush because your houses are not normally subject to tumah. For you, it's a bigger chiddush. The Torah goes out of its way to say that everything will be subject to the kohen. The kohen could postpone the rendering of.
Excuse me, Rabbi. Where's the Sephardic minyan at 8 o'clock?
In that direction.
Which direction?
Make it
place ends.
Make it right.
We're going to show you. Okay. And the Rabbi Huda's position is that no. Then under both circumstances, I'm sorry. Rabbi's position is no. Under both circumstances, one can delay the ruling. Okay, so let's just quickly wrap it up. Okay, we talked about extermination. All right, our first topic for today. In the world of extermination, you're allowed to exterminate your field mice and your rodents on Chol HaMoed. Even though there's going to be some improvement to your land, but that's not a consideration. The loss to your field will allow you to exterminate the rodents on Chol HaMoed. That was the first big discussion. Plugging holes in your fence. If it's for the security of your field, so then you have to do it with a shinui. If it's for the security of your home, so then you can do it without any reservation, and you can do regular construction. That was the Chiddush of Rav Chisda. And then the big discussion for today's daf was Saras. Can a Kohen look at Saras on Chol HaMoed? The concern is that if the Kohen gives you bad news, so that will that will upset your Simchas Yontov. So can that happen? So there are two opinions in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Meir, which we saw a parallel of Braisa, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Meir, and then there's Rabbi Meir's compromise. But what was interesting was, is there are two versions of what Rabbi Meir is compromising. Rabbi Meir is either, we have two versions, either he was allowing a musgar to be seen by Kohen during Chol HaMoed, or he's allowing a mukhla to be seen by a Kohen on Chol HaMoed. And what's at issue, to explain the Gemara, is what will make him happier. His ability to be with his wife, even though that will be at the expense of being with the community, or his ability to be with the community, even though at that expense he will not be able to be with his wife. The Gemara presents that as two possible ways of understanding Rabbi. And finally, the last discussion that we had was, is that the Kohen can ignore, if you will, Saras, both on you and on your house, and therefore you will not be rendered a Mitzorah until the Kohen actually renders a decision, even if he may know the decision earlier. But if he wants to delay and postpone the decision, you're not going to be a Mitzorah until he actually renders the decision.